to the Beat Red podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our stories and you tell your stories and we tell your stories and we call you up and then you tell your stories too. So it's embarrassing all around. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn Beat Red.
How was your week?
How's your
week?
I did it first.
I don't know.
Just look at your face. I do not know what to say.
We're recording two back to back. So
I already told like my major story.
That's the thing is sometimes we realize we didn't have enough information. We'll figure it out. But we do want to tell you really quickly.
Yes.
We are not going to be here next week. We're taking one little week break, but we'll be back after that.
Back
no worries.
Yeah. Just go back and listen to your favorite episode.
Yes. Find your favorite episode and listen to that.
Yes.
But so really quickly, just to know that. So you're not like, where are they? What's happening? And yes, like, the podcast is continuing for all of those who have asked. We have addressed that already. But in case you're a new listener and this is for some reason your first episode, just know that.
Yeah, just know we'll see you in a little bit. We'll see you in 1 week.
Yeah, just 1 week off. So I can talk more about the house got to see because I didn't do that. It's beautiful. Like, it really is. It's old. It's 1938 home in Maryland that we purchased. It's 2 minutes from my parents, which is so nice.
So nice.
I thought of another embarrassing thing that happened,
which was
while I was home. It was just, well, this is a different kind of embarrassing. This is the secondhand, like, you want to crawl under the table and die. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to a restaurant with someone who is not great to go to a restaurant with sometimes.
My 2-year-old son, yes.
That can be my parents. No, complaining. Like, if you're with, because if you've worked in the service industry forever, then you know. Like, if you know, as we have, like, we try to be on our best behavior, make allowances, you know, for all of it. We went to a restaurant. My dad ordered a steak and lobster, and like the steak was, it was so overcooked, to be fair. Like, it really was. Ugh. And the service was bad, to be fair. Like, she wasn't really there. It took like 2 hours for the meal. And if they ever have to wait, like, my parents are not good.
2 hours is way too long.
It's a long time. So, to be fair, there was stuff going on. But like, and as I've talked about in here, my dad does have dementia. He has good days and bad days. He was not having a great day. And like, he continued to eat it. So you can't send it back if you like eat the whole thing, you know.
Right.
We were trying to be like, hey, like, don't eat it then if you don't want to, like, we'll get you another one, like, but he continued to eat it, and then it was one of those where like he finished it and then the server came over and my mom was like, this was terrible, but she thought my mom was joking because, you know, people are always like, I hated it when you eat
right, and it's gone
and it's gone.
Yeah,
so she was like, this was terrible, and the waitress was like laughing, and she was like, oh yeah, I can see like you hated it. And my mom's like going off going on and on about how bad it was and like how bad the experience was. Want to die. I want to crawl under the table and die. It was so uncomfortable. And my mom felt bad. She apologized.
No, but I mean, that happens all the time.
It was one of those things. And I've been out to eat with friends sometimes that are just rude, like, which I'm like, okay, I'm never eating with you again.
Oh,
like,
I was
rude to
someone.
The server, or just like snappy, or just like, can I get this? Like, no pleases. Like, those are mortifying for me. Like, when that happens, it's so embarrassing.
Because those are your people. I'm sorry. I always look at the wait staff when I go out every time because I waited tables forever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, those are people. I mean, yeah, it's hard.
So that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
That was a little embarrassing. But otherwise, I mean, I had a good trip. I'm ready to be there. Like, but I also like definitely felt a lot of like, you know, while I was there, I was missing LA big time. And like, you know, my life here, my friends here, the fun things I do. Like, I have such a great life here. Mm. But, you know, I don't love my life here more than my family. And, like, I have to be there for them. I need to be there for them. And I also, like, I mean, like I said, I do love the house. I love the yard. Like, it's so peaceful there. There's so many trees. There's so much wildlife. Like, it's just absolutely idyllic, you know.
So
there's a lot of reprieve with, like, the outdoor and the water. And, like, you know, it was so wonderful to spend so much time with my brother and my niece and nephew and, you know, my mom and dad. And, like, it was – I was just like, okay, like, I'm ready. Sebastian, like, at the end, he's like, I don't even want to go back. Like,
then he's ready,
too. He loved
too.
It.
That's
yeah.
so exciting. No, you're – you know, and there's going to be a lot of emotions going – into this and coming out of LA, but you know this is the right way, and you're going to be so creative there with your new house. There's so many things you said you want to do, and you're already designing, so that's going to take over.
I was getting like big time slate. Big time creative impulses there, like everywhere I looked I was like, oh, I want to do this, and like you know, seeing it for the first time like in person after you buy it is pretty wild, but it, you know, it exceeded my expectations, which was nice. That was a big positive for me.
Well, and I can't wait to watch. Like, I just can't wait to watch you do this and see how it transforms.
And you're
going to
come
visit?
I love
being able to watch that.
Yeah,
and I'm going to come visit for sure.
But we're here for another month or two. You know, it's going to depend on when our house sells. And, you know, I'm not mad at having more time in LA. It's, you know, I love it.
Well, I'm loving it too. I'm going to be over there at your house. And I'm like, I thought I was going to have to say goodbye to you next week. So.
No way.
So happy no that way. I don't. Okay. Do you want to just dive in?
Let's dive into
let's
it.
Let's do it.
Let's get into it. Do you want me to start?
Yes.
Okay. My first story is from Nancy from Canada. She wrote in to tell us another story after we loved her first one a few months ago that involved a party and a gold
Nancy.
Embroidered towel. Do you remember
yes,
that one?
I do.
The gold embroidered towel. So
love
good.
Love you, Nancy.
If you haven't listened yet, you've got to go back and hear that one. Thank you, Nancy, for writing in again. And let's hear this one.
Yay.
My dad is an artist and has always been a single parent. He raised me in a very specific, unique way, which in turn made our communication unique as well, for better and worse. He's an amazing father 80% of the time, and we get along well, but we're not very sentimental and not great with expressing emotion, to each other at least. Funny detail, we're both on the very high end of the spectrum, so imagine the most honest you've ever been with someone and turn it into a fight to get a picture of how brutal things can get between
Ooh,
us.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Those digs when you, like, really know someone.
Just, yeah, the gloves are off.
Such a fight erupted last year when my dad forgot my birthday.
Ooh.
The fact that we were both born in December and his birthday is just 2 weeks before mine made it even more insulting. And by God, I let him know how I feel. He apologized, but I said some things to him that I ended up regretting. So after cooling down for about a week, I decided to make it up to him and make him a birthday cake instead of just apologizing like an adult. But I mean, that's a nice apology.
That's a great apology.
But I love. But I guess it's like not an apology. It's just like, I made you a cake.
Like, yeah. That's like, what I'm. That's a peace offering.
That's what I'm going to do.
I love it.
For you. But that's nice because
Delicious.
He forgot your birthday and you made him a birthday cake.
Yes.
So that is nice.
It is nice.
I hope he apologized. oh, no, it says he did. Okay. After some scrolling, I found a recipe for a mango coconut cake and decided to make it for him. It's gorgeous and super easy. I'll link the recipe in your comments section if you choose to read this on air. The cake turned out perfect, and I very proudly brought it over to his house for dinner. He was very excited, thanked me, and took a big bite. Less than 30 seconds later, he started coughing and wheezing. Hundreds of red dots covered his face and his body faster than anyone could even register.
He's allergic.
His hair is black and he's on the bigger side as it is, so he looked like a giant ladybug by the end of it.
Oh my God.
My uncle, my cousin, and I freaked out and took him straight to the hospital. At the last second, I decided to take the cake with me just in case someone wanted to look at it. Upon arrival, my dad got tested and pumped with antihistamines and felt much better, confirming that he was, in fact, super allergic to mangoes.
Oh, no.
Oops. We like to make jokes when we're stressed, so he asked the doctor if he was going to die. The doctor played along and sarcastically told him that he was so sorry, but yes. I was like, dang,
oh,
the doctor
God.
Actually played
along. The doctor's
like,
I'm showing up
He's
for that.
Like, I'm getting on board with this. I'm bored. Let's do it. In response, I asked the doctor if I could have my dad stuffed. My dad laughed so hard, his blood pressure spiked again. He had to stay overnight for observation.
Because the
emergency room was basically stranded. And I got bored at some point, so I ended up getting the cake from his car and shared it with the doctor and a few of the nurses, eating it over the front desk and arguing about Ryan's relationship with Homelander in The Boys. By the way, doctor, you know who you are from you-know-which hospital in Ontario. A, you're amazing. B, I fucking told you so. Happy birthday, Daddy. Now for my dad's 28-year in advance payback. When I was 5, I was accidentally, I mean, I fucking hope, pushed onto a sharp metal corner of the sandbox in my preschool by another
Get
child
out of
and
here.
Split open my head.
I cannot feel my legs right now.
I know, doesn't sound
that
horrific?
Is too much.
It was minor. I know, you're like, my kid's starting preschool. I hate this.
I cannot handle that.
Well, there's no more. They're like, now that's like such an old thing to have a metal freaking corner sandbox. Like, now they protect everything and do things the right way. Like, they have like foam padding
it's
on
foam
everything.
Padded.
They're
yes,
not like,
exactly.
Like, that happened to my sister too. She split her head open on brick. That was outside of our house though.
Oh,
like, the
God.
The brick like corner when we, but we had like a little like blow up pool out there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And she did that, but it happens. Anyway, it was minor but bloody, so they called my dad and he took me to the ER to get some stitches. I was scared and cried my eyes out the entire time we were there, so when we were finally done, he decided to stop by a nearby playground to distract and calm me before getting back home. He sat me on the swing and we played around for a few minutes. My dad got a degree in math and physics, but I guess he dropped out right before they learned about calculating velocity and distance, because he then gave me a push that knocked me straight on my face and ruined the pediatrician's masterpiece.
Wait, what?
She almost slapped him when we came back in.
So wait, his dad, like, her dad...
Her dad re-split her head open. Like, her dad pushed her so hard on the swing that she went flying.
That is terrible.
And landed on the ground.
That is terrible.
And re-split her head open.
Oh my God. I know he didn't mean to, obviously, but it's just, that's like, that's so hard. That's
it's tough. Really funny, though, if you think it's about it. Funny. Like, the dad's, like, trying to distract her. So he's like, let's go to the playground. And then freaking re-splits her head back open.
Oh, God.
Like, I know.
Oh, Nancy.
So she poisoned him with mango coconut cake.
Yes, yeah, so there
that
you
was
go.
The
That's
28 year later payback.
I love it. Thank you so much for that story, yeah. Nancy. Oh,
and thanks gosh. For writing. Write us again anytime.
Yes, please. We'll tell your stories. This next story is from one of my closest friends. I've known her for a decade. Her name is Jenny Allen, and she is one of the funniest people I've talked to. She's so funny, but she refuses to do stand-up comedy, but she needs to. So I'm just putting that out there. Okay, let's call her up. Let's call Jenny.
Hello.
Hello, Jenny. You're on with Katie,
you know,
and Mary Kate.
So
hi.
Beat Red Podcast.
Oh, hello. Is this a podcast? How are you? Oh, wait. No, I'm not supposed to do that, right?
You can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever okay. you want.
This is a no holds barred podcast.
Just let the horse
you know
run
what's so funny?
Wild.
I was just, I'm sitting here with my good friend Carol. She's sitting next to me.
Hello, Carol.
And I was telling her about you, and I was like, you know, we were just telling you, like, you know, the what's eating Gilbert Grape, whatever. And we were just pulling up to look at your pictures, and I was like scrolling through, and then you call.
Oh,
and
hey.
Like,
meant to be.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're so good. How are you?
I'm great.
I'm so excited.
Had a little drink, so maybe okay. The story will be even better.
It's nice. Gonna be. I mean, I was telling, I already admitted to the public that you are so funny and need to do stand-up comedy, and you refuse. So I said that too. So I get it, but you
oh,
just
but you
launched.
Know what's going to happen, though? It's like telling someone you're going to go see a great movie, and then you go to the movie, and they're like, that's fucking horrible.
That
like, movie sucks. Why did you tell me it was so good?
No.
Now it's
like, not going to be.
Make me seem like I'm funny, but now I'm not going to be funny.
You are
so
comic
you.
Genius forever. No, there's no none? Debate. So
you put me under
it. I yeah. kind of know the story. You've told me a little bit about it, and Katie does not. So it's going to be so great to hear it.
Okay.
From you.
So are you already recording me?
Yes, of course.
We are
can
live.
Can I say something to the people?
Yes.
Can I say something to the people?
You can.
I don't know what to say. But I want to say, people, that I just love you.
Oh,
and
that's so
you'll
nice.
Be fine. How
okay.
about that?
A message of love.
Fine.
A message of inspiration.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm assuming I'm telling this weird-ass story about my suitcase.
Yes.
I love it.
I did have a different story that I was going to do, but...
What? Which
no,
one?
Before,
you could just make dealer's
we
choice.
We were going to do the raccoon. No, I think the suitcase is better. Because, well, first of all, I will admit, I do not get embarrassed. It's really tough.
Wow.
I remember that. She told me she doesn't have embarrassment.
Love that for you.
I know.
People that say that, I'm like, wait, what?
No,
like, how's that
I wish
thing?
I could.
Only
I wish
because,
I had
like, maybe I've been so ridiculous in my life that I just got so used to it that I'm like, yeah, I'm just nuts. You know?
I'm just nuts. I've said that to myself,
okay,
too.
So... I'll tell you, I won't say I was embarrassed, but I will say that it was a very awkward situation. And it literally happened like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
And so I flew from Jacksonville, Florida to San Diego, see my family. My niece is graduating. Go, you know, great flight. Everything's good. Go to get my suitcase off the carousel. And it's fucking broken.
Oh,
so
no.
I literally, like, pick it up and, like, just opens. And I'm like, what the hell? This is weird. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. I'm trying to, like, fix the zipper, and it won't close. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I'm sitting there. Clearly, I have a potty mouth.
No,
so
it's fine.
I'm in the airport, and I'm like, fuck. Are you fucking kidding me? And people are starting to look at me a little strange. And I've got water drops, and then all of a sudden the ass wipes fall out of my damn suitcase. Yes. You know, the flushable ones that need to be clean.
Oh,
so of all the things That's number one. So then I get more dirty looks, and I wanted to say, like, listen, my ass is clean. This is a good sign. Like, I'm safe to approach. But anyway, so I'm trying to stand it up. I'm trying to do whatever. And I'm like, motherfucker, just like, okay, just making a scene in the airport. So I'm like, all right, let me just fucking drag this thing over. I drag it over to the side. I get to the information desk and I'm like, do you got any tape? And he's like, no, we don't have tape. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have tape? Oh, you're in an airport. You don't have anything. Do you have a string? Do you have anything? I'm like, my suitcase is broken. I can't do anything with this. Like, what do you want me to do? And yeah. He's like, oh, that sucks. I'm like, yeah, it does. And the airline, which I won't mention because, you know, we don't want any letters, do we?
No, we don't get sued. They might be a sponsor. You never know.
Yeah, right. You never know. So we won't say what it is. There might be an air in there. Never mind. newer airline. So I'm like, okay, well, where's the luggage desk? You know, because all these fuckers have luggage desks. Yeah. So I'm like, where's the luggage desk? Well, they don't have one. They're new. I'm like, they don't have one. Okay. So I'm like, fine. I can't move my seat. He's like, you need to go upstairs and go find like the ticket desk. So I'm like, well, where's that? And there's like all the way in the end. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I was like, all right, cool. So I'm trying to go online just to even find something out. Nothing's there. So he gives me this cart and he's like, well, can I have this cart? And then there's a big sign that goes for military only. I go, wait. No, you can't give that to me. I'm not military. And he's like, it's fine. I'm like, but what's going to happen if someone comes in here? And he's like, looking at me like I'm even crazy. I'm like, fine, just give me the fucking card. So I go up. So I go upstairs. I'm pissed. I'm like pushing it so fast because I'm so mad. Go up the elevator. People are like, it doesn't look like anything's happening because the zipper's broken. So it's not like it's smashed or anything.
Okay, right. So nothing's falling out on the way. Like nothing's trailing
you. But this is
a
big suitcase, I'm assuming, since you put it on
a cart. Yeah.
Plane.
Yeah, I'll put yeah, right. So like you were saying, almost 50 pounds. I think it was 43.
It's a beast. So it's a beast. Like, yeah. It's not a little carry on that you can manage.
You can't like tuck it under your arm. You gotta. So it's broken and things falling out.
No, because I had actually invested for the first time in my life in those little packing cubes.
Oh, those are nice.
Listen, I'm not religious, but I think the travel gods were on my side. Because they're like, buy the shit before you leave.
Yeah.
And because I'm going to break your suitcase.
Everything would have been off.
Yeah, you'd have underwear everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
No, thank God.
Okay, good.
Like, because the ass wipes alone are just like, okay, that's private, but it's not horrible. It's not like a dildo fell out.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
That would be a whole other story, though. Like you're actually traveling with one of those. Like,
We've had those stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. An old TSA agent was like, "Oh, have a great trip."
Busted at the airport.
That actually would have been a better story.
No,
maybe someone would have helped me because they were like, "Hey, what are you doing later? I'll help you with your suitcase."
But so did you make it back to your, first of all, I'm picturing like an armored cart, like a completely armored cart. Cause it's like just for the military.
No. So it's just normal airport cart when people have way too many suitcases or they have too many children. Like either way, you're excessive. You have more than two kids. You don't deserve a cart. You've procreated too much.
Okay.
But that's just my opinion.
Whoa. Hot take.
Uh-oh. Don't tell my name.
Like, don't you have a brother? Don't you have like a couple siblings?
But exactly, no. But you know what I mean? When they're like, how many? It's my brother has three kids, so it's fine. And I tell them that all the time. I'm like, you guys have too much stuff. You know, their stuff took up more room in my place than they did. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
You need to get rid of one of these. This is too much.
You've got to just leave one away.
You need to downsize these kids. This
one of them stay home. We just need a suitcase area cleared. So this guy goes, go upstairs to their ticket desk. Someone up there might be able to help you. Fine. So I take the elevator, go up. I'm pissed. I'm like, great. Go all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Which, of course, but I had the cart, so it's not that big of a deal. No one's fucking there.
What?
It's like showing up to a ghost town. And I'm like, hello? Hello? I'm like, and so I think it was I'll say it, United Airlines, because this woman did help me, was next to them.
Sponsor.
And there's like tons of people. There's everything. And I was like, excuse me, do these people work?
Oh.
Is anyone coming? And they're like, yeah, I don't know. They're not here that often. I'm like, seriously? I'm like, okay, well, how do I even get in touch with them? I don't know. Okay, great. So I see this like plastic roll behind their desk. I go, what's that? What's that plastic over there? I'm like, do you have any tape? I'm like, do you have any tape? I'm like, you're fucking weirdo. Like, you're like tape, sir.
Pawing like, through their stuff. Just like, what's it?
Yeah. Like from town like, to town. Like, do you have any tape?
Just asking these random people, do you have any tape? I was and meanwhile, I'm cursing pretty much the whole time.
Love it.
Just pretty much to myself, but just like, fuck. What the fuck? Like, maybe someone could hear me. We're not sure. But so anyway, the woman, like, I'm almost like, is that plastic wrap? She's like, I don't know what that is. I'm like, can you just grab it? I don't care what it is. I just need some help here because I got to go get my car. No one's picking me up. I'm going to rent a car. And you, I don't know if you've been to San Diego Airport. You have to take a bus shuttle to a huge garage to then go and get your car, which
I
is
hate
fine.
When you have it's to great. Do that. Yeah.
With a bus suitcase, that's going to take a week.
Yeah. And I was like, oh God, I can't even hold this thing up. How right. am I going to even get there? So she goes over to the thing and it's this massive plastic bag. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I have a huge suitcase. I'm like, oh shit, this isn't going to fit. It's not going to fit. We get it on there. She's like, you know, it's almost like putting a condom on a big, never mind.
A monster.
I was going to say something, but you know, like okay. just when you're really just trying to.
It's a magnum bag.
You know, what
it's
a magnum bag.
Yeah, like you're just trying to put a cheap condom on a big penis.
Okay, let's you just said it. I was going to say.
Just barely fits. You're wondering if it's really going to hold everything in. Is it going to help? Is it going to protect? You know, no. Anyway.
Am I going to get pregnant? Am I going to get pregnant?
Sorry.
Hey, so,
I want my suitcase to get pregnant.
So yeah.
Like, we don't need that.
Okay, yes. so you get it on there, and then what do? You have to drag the bag around, like drag it.
No, not yet. So okay. I still have we still have the cart, right?
Right.
So I have the cart. I throw it on there with like just I am pissed at that point because no one's around, and this lady was nice, but I'm like, cool. I got the bag on there. It's not gonna my stuff's not gonna fall out. So right. that was good. So right. I'm like, all right. Let me go out to the shuttle. It's not going to be too bad. Massive line. Everyone's staring at me, by the way. Everyone's looking at me.
Why?
Just
because you're
of, like,
cursing and you have the
down.
Condom bag.
Because you have a condom bag and you're
saying
you're
my
swearing
suitcase is
street.
In a condom bag. Yes. It's really weird looking. Like, why does this person have a cart with one suitcase and
a
plastic
bag
yeah. with her What's suitcase on it? And they weren't like saying, like, first of all, fuck all the people in San Diego because
okay,
nobody well. Helped me when I got off there.
Yes, seriously.
They were just staring at me.
San Diego don't give a fuck.
Yeah, San Diego don't give a fuck about people with broken suitcases. Let me just put that out there. And I will stand
she threw
for that
down. Her family
yeah.
lives there.
Yeah, my family's there and I really do love San Diego. But besides that, the people in the airport at that moment suck. How
yes.
about that one?
Yes, good.
We'll say that because we don't know everyone there,
no.
do we?
No. Mm-hmm.
so anyway, I get in the line and I'm just telling you, it just kind of like weaves around so more people can see you at the same place because everyone's weaving around and everyone, instead of just giving me a weird look and then looking down at the bag and then looking back up. And of course, knowing me, Mary Kay, you know me. And I go, yeah. It's fucking broken. This isn't the way I brought it here. And there's like multiple people because I'm like, it's fucking broken. I got it. Like, it's like
so
no one's helping
funny.
Me. You're just going to
yeah,
give
yeah.
me a stink eye. I'm like, it's not my fault.
Exactly.
Anyway, I finally get to the thing. I'm like, I don't even care. You can take the cart back. You can do whatever you want with it. I don't care
no,
anymore.
You can
I'm like,
take
listen,
this cart and shove it up San Diego's ass.
Yeah. I tell the guy, hey, you got to break through the plastic to try to grab the handle to put it in there. So
oh
he gets
God.
It on there. No big deal. I'm just sitting on the bus. I'm just fuming. And then the woman next to me, staring at the bag, then stares back at me, staring at the bag, staring back at me. And I just start making eye contact and wouldn't leave. I'm like,
you just
stared
her down.
That's my bag. That's yours. I'm like,
she got so mad.
Yes.
She got so
mad. It's broken.
Oh my God.
She goes, oh, okay. I'm like, I didn't travel with it like that. She goes, yeah. Looks weird. I'm like, mm, you look weird. That's I didn't say that. I wanted to. I'm like, yeah, it just happened. Whatever.
I mean, I have a question for you before we go, because we got to go. But I want to say, you, yes. Why have you never done stand-up? Okay? Think about that. I love you so
Thank you
much.
So much for sharing your story.
Thank you for the story.
I hope it makes the cut.
Oh, it definitely makes it. It's in. Oh, it's in. I love you and have the best rest of your day. And thank you so much for doing this.
I love you too. Okay. Have a great time. Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so this is from Anonymous, and he writes, I used to smoke. I started smoking cigarettes when I was 16 and continued well into adulthood. Many signs that I should have quit manifested pretty early on. This is the story of one of those signs. When I was 22, I was finishing up with my last year of college and was living off campus in a house full of guys who all smoked. Of course, we smoked in the house, especially in the winter months. It was in early December that I started dating this girl who I really liked. We'd gone on a couple dates and things were going great. We hadn't slept together yet, but that was likely going to happen on our next date. The night before our date, I was laying in bed smoking a cigarette before going to sleep. I always sleep naked, even in the winter. So I was just lounging in the nude, ripping a butt before bedtime.
Ripping a butt.
For no good reason. Isn't that funny? Ripping butts. For no good reason, the ember, or cherry for smokers of certain age, came loose from my cigarette and fell right onto the tip of my penis.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? That must have hurt so bad.
That is horrific.
That must have hurt. I howled in pain and quickly plucked the burning hunk of tobacco off of my junk and tossed it in the ashtray.
He could have flamed up his pubes, too. That is like, who's smoking in bed? Just like naked smoking in bed is so random.
Can someone please put, he could have smoked up his pubes.
Flame my pubes. Pube flame. That's the name of this episode, is Flame My Pubes. Can we do that?
Flaming pubes. Okay. After surveying my bed to make sure there was no loose burning bits like my pubes that might set my mattress aflame, I looked at my poor penis. It looked nightmarish.
Ew.
A giant burn blister had already begun to form on the tip of my dick.
You ain't having sex tonight.
You're not getting any.
Tonight's not the night.
I love it. And I knew that there would be no sex for me for a while. Boom, you called it. So off I went on my date. There was like no transition. It was just like, there's gonna be no sex. So off I went on my date. Things seemed to be going pretty well. And as dinner drew to a close, we began discussing what to do next. She looked at me and asked, should we get a drink or... And I immediately blurted out, can't have sex, burn the top of my dick.
Oh my God.
The blood drained out of her face. Okay, she reluctantly stated. We stood there staring at each other awkwardly for what seemed like forever. I'm going to go, she said, and then slowly turned and walked back to her car. I didn't chase her. In my nervous state, I was paralyzed. She walked back to her car, got in, and drove away. The flame had gone out. Pun intended. If ever there was a sign to quit smoking.
Yeah, she probably thought he had a disease. She's probably like, oh, he's got a herp flare right now. Yeah. He's trying to say that he burned his dick.
Or he's into some really kinky sex stuff.
But he didn't even explain
it. He burned the tip of his penis, maybe like with candle wax.
That's pretty funny.
Because it's in the 1980s. He just dripped some candle wax on the tip of his dick. And she's like, I'm not into it. I'm not doing it. Nope. You better quit smoking, buddy.
Flame went out. Okay, my next story is from Cup of Joe blog, and Liz writes, at my parents' urging, I joined the swim team during my first year of high school. The team was primarily populated by girls who had been swimming competitively for years, whereas my swimming experience consisted of messing around in lakes and playing Marco Polo at the town pool.
Aww.
There were more than a few snide laughs at my ineptitude from my teammates at practice. God, teen girls are the worst. Yeah, they truly are.
Damn, so glad I don't have a girl.
At our first swim meet of the year, my most devout hope was to get through the day without drawing attention and ridicule from my teammates. Before long, it was time for my first ever race. I mounted the blocks with trembling legs, poised to dive off the blocks when the starter's gun went off. Except, Instead of firing the starting gun, the starter said dismount to signal us that there had been some kind of malfunction and we would have to delay by a few seconds. I was not prepared for this eventuality, so I simultaneously dived off the block and tried to stop myself from diving off the block.
She did one of those, my like, God. You know? Yes.
As a result, I full on belly flopped directly into the pool in front of the entire meet. I had to miserably swim back over to the side, clamber out of the pool, and scurry back to my block to remount so they could actually start the race, with the girls on my team laughing hysterically the sidelines. It was a worse outcome than I ever could have imagined. Just typing this gave me a full body cringe.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, you do a belly flop.
But think about how that looked, though, because you know, we've all had that, like, if you're going to start a race or, like, a Simon Says or whatever, and you, like, start to go, and then you realize it's, like, the jumping off, and, like, then, like, pulling your body back just looks like a big flop. Like, because they were already like, oh, this girl sucks. She's not like us. She's not good. She's like, she's like a little pool swimmer. Like, we're like pros. And then she like freaking belly flops.
She proves them right. No, I'm just kidding. She belly flopped. But then
it's,
you know what?
It's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. She stood out. She made herself known, like, hey, I'm not like these other people, but you know what? Watch me swim. Just watch me swim.
Watch me flop. All right?
Eat my water. Yep. Okay, well, so here we go. Okay, so this is from Becca, and she wrote, I went to a friend's wedding in England where I met my future husband's ex-wife. Yep. At that time, my husband and I had been dating for about a year, and things were getting pretty serious. She was weirdly friendly the whole time, constantly trying to chat me up. Maybe it's a British thing, but I'm American, and she had an affair, so hard pass.
That's so funny.
I love that. After she didn't take the hint, I finally dropped loudly in a circle of women that my husband and I were getting married in a few months. She got the message and backed off. And honestly, it felt amazing. A little petty justice moment. Fast forward to the reception. It's this huge hall with tables everywhere and a dance floor in the middle. I'm still riding my smug little high when the bride requests California Girls by Katy Perry. She finds me in the crowd and literally drags me to the center of the dance floor.
Ew, I hate that.
It's just the two of us. Everyone else clears out like we're doing an interpretive duet. And there I am, thrashing awkwardly to Daisy Duke's Bikinis on Top. So how embarrassing is that? Like, she's just like thrown down with this ex-wife and is like, uh-uh. I got your man, and we're going to have a beautiful future. And then she gets dragged out, has to dance to California Girls only with her and the bride.
I think I would have had him like, oh, no, thank you. No, thanks. I'm good.
So she wrote, 3 minutes never felt so long. Pretty sure I lost the smug feeling right around fine, fresh, and fierce.
That's pretty funny.
That's so, yeah. You can, I always like that, the dismount, you know what I mean? From like a high and mighty moment, and you just like fall off your horse or whatever, and like, it poops on you, and you're like, what just happened?
I love the way your brain went.
Thanks.
My next story comes from Quora, and Tita K writes, I was 7 months pregnant, a tiny, timid 23-year-old with pregnancy brain. I swear, hormones change one's ability to think straight for 9 months. I was turning left, coming out of Taco Bell parking lot in my little 78 Plymouth Champ. Come on, I was craving tacos. The street was super narrow, cars parked on both sides with barely enough room for one car to drive between. A 1960s VW van was parked on my left and a tow truck was on my right. I couldn't see worth crap. I edged out just a tiny bit to see if traffic was coming. A Ford Bronco came zooming down the street. I knew they'd clip the front of my car if I didn't move. I couldn't back up. There was another car directly behind me. That's the worst feeling ever.
That's terrible.
In a panic, I steered left towards the van. The Bronco zoomed by, horn blazing, missing me by a hair. I heard a screech. I'd scraped the chrome bumper on the VW van. Mm. I panicked even more and backed up as straight as I could to assess the damage. My front bumper hooked onto the back bumper of the van. I was stuck to the van and began to cry.
Oh my God.
Across the street was a mechanic shop. I took a deep breath and entered the shop where five burly looking guys were sitting at a table eating lunch. With lips quivering and a protruding belly, I told them my plight. I felt like a cliche. One of the guys says, oh, that's my van. I was so embarrassed.
No.
I felt like crawling under the table. All five guys must have felt pretty bad for me. Smiling, they gently patted my shoulder, handed me a tissue, and joked about the stupid things they and their pregnant wives had done. They followed me to their car, picked it up, and off of the van's bumper. Luckily, no harm was done to either vehicle, and they were such nice guys.
Well, that is good.
I thought that was cute.
That
like
is
this
really
sweet
cute.
Little, like, big pregnant, like, I'm going to get Taco Bell. Then you freaking end up with your car, like, stuck on another car.
That
like,
is, but she, that's great. She got out of it. She
and she met
anything.
The person whose car she hit.
Yeah.
And they were so sweet.
And they were nice.
They helped her.
That's
little
sweet.
Sweet baby.
Yeah, I like that story. I like
know,
it when you do something
cute,
embarrassing
right?
and then people are there to be nice to you about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Instead of just like freaking out or making her feel bad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But like, how can you be mean to like a crying pregnant woman that's like.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Oh, we just wanted some Taco Bell. Okay. My last story is from Savannah from Atlanta.
Oh, I love it.
And she
and it's
writes.
Fake, but that's fine.
Well, it's not fake. It's from Savannah from Atlanta.
Okay, okay, okay.
It's an email.
I love how you rhyme.
Back in the day, I didn't write. Okay, well, believe what you want. Believe what you want. Back in the day, I was working in a summer camp at a major regional theater. At the same time, I was also working in a summer camp in a major university in the area, and I had a show there where I needed a prop gun. It couldn't look realistic, but we needed something that could be used as a gun. And I went to this regional theater where I was also working and said, "Can I look at your props, please?" This amazing prop woman came out with a variety of guns. Some of them looked like water squirters and some were too realistic, which is not okay for a children's camp theater production. But then there it is. The props woman comes out and says, "What do you think of this one?" And it is a wooden gun. But as if you took a piece of wood and cut the shape of a gun out of it. It doesn't have any dimension. It looks like a woodblock toy that you'd have as a kid, but is a life-size rifle shape that has been stained dark brown and it has a strap. So it's just like a big piece of wood that's painted.
Yeah.
Looks like a gun. So it's perfect. Earlier that day, I had dropped my car off to get an oil change just down the street from the theater. So I gather up the costumes and props that I need and put them in bags. And I take this gun and I put it over my shoulder. Now, this regional theater is on a really busy street in my city and there are cars racing by and it's a hot, sunny summer day. And I just absentmindedly sling the rifle over my shoulder because it's a short jaunt down the very busy street to get to the mechanic. So I'm heading out and the props person says, "Do you want to put that rifle in a bag?" And I'm like, "No, I can carry it." Not thinking once that maybe she was trying to warn me. I exit the theater. I start walking down the sidewalk, ecstatic and accomplishing all I'd set out to do that day. I am killing it. As I'm walking, I notice a few cars slow down as they pass me. It doesn't occur to me that with my bags of costumes and this rifle, it doesn't look great from a passerby's perspective. I finally get to the mechanic, and as I walk into the shop, the guy at the front desk, who is a lovely human, puts his hands over his head and says, "Don't shoot, don't shoot." And I think to myself, this guy's hilarious. He's making fun of this wooden rifle. What a goof. But then I see the fear on his face, and I look at all the people working next to him, and they're backing away. And then I think, oh, he thinks I have a real gun.
Oh, my God.
And I immediately say, no, this is a prop. It's a prop. It's a piece of wood. It's for a show that I'm working on. Look. And I take it off my shoulder and everyone jumps back. However, once they realize it's a wooden gun, the relief is instant. We're laughing as I'm showing them the wooden gun. And then I hear a siren and these two police cars come screeching into the parking lot and the cops come in and they say, "We have a report of a woman with a rifle. She's armed and walking down the street with a rifle." And they're staring right at me. And the sweet guy behind the counter starts to cover for me. And he says, no, it's not a real gun. Look, the cops look at me and I shrug and say, "I'm so sorry. This is a prop." I explain everything about the theater production and show how it's wooden and then start rambling about the plot of the children's show it's for. And the cop's face slowly drops and his eyes get big and he cuts me off and says really slowly, like he's talking to a child, "Next time you're gonna carry a prop weapon, you should put that thing in a bag." And I thought to myself, I should have listened to that prop lady.
Yeah.
Can you imagine though, you like someone reported you as you're walking.
Well, I would
too,
though, if you saw somebody, because also when you're driving, you're not really looking at details. So they just saw the outline of the gun and she's got all these bags. And that does look like somebody who's got, they're going to reload their ammunition and go like kill someone. Oh. Like, that's terrifying.
And they must have followed her because they knew she went into the mechanic shop. So then they called and they were like, "How? That's a perfect
storm. See something,
storm.
Say something. Good for you."
That's so embarrassing, though, because like those cops are like, "Oh, ready to de-escalate." And then it's a wooden gun.
Yeah, at least I was, though. Yikes. Whoop, okay. Whoop. My last story is from Quora, and April McCall writes, I believe I was in seventh grade. Getting my period was still new to me, and I didn't have a heavy period the first three times, so why would it be any different this time? At the time of my horrible experience, I was unable to ask my teacher, who was showing us a movie, to leave the class to go to the washroom because I didn't want to interrupt the class. I figured, whatever, it's only 45 minutes. How bad could it be down there?
Oh, no.
Well, I'll tell you. When the movie was done, it was bad. I felt disgusting. Oh. I knew I probably leaked through my underwear. Gross, I know, but periods aren't pretty. Afraid, I didn't look down because I knew it was bad. I could feel my heartbeat race and my face become flushed. Repeatedly in my head, I internally screamed as my stomach did flip-flops because I knew that soon everyone would know I had an accident. Oh. Sucking some air into my lungs, I moved a little and looked down. Blood.
Oh.
Doing the only thing I could think of, I clung to the plastic orange chair for dear life. I didn't want to sit up at all because I had left some evidence of my dilemma below. I didn't realize the pad I had on wasn't strong enough because I had not yet learned of the differences.
Aww.
By this time, the classroom was emptying out, and my plan was to run out and leave the chair behind as I dashed to the washroom. But I couldn't move. My two girlfriends were waiting for me outside the door, and when I didn't come out, they got curious, and to my horror, they started walking back towards me with worried faces. What's wrong with you? I couldn't say anything. I think I was on the verge of tears. Aww. The teacher now finished her cleanup and looked at the three of us, and to my doom, she walked over too. Great.
Oh no.
Slowly, I mentioned I may have had my period. My friends and the teacher let that process for a second before they knew what I meant. It was obvious the way I was clutching the chair, the way my face was contorted in fear, why I didn't want to move.
Oh.
To add more stress, the next class was starting to pile
in. No!
I could hear laughter from outside the door as they moved to come inside. That's the worst feeling ever.
You can just sit on my lap. I'm not leaving.
Yeah,
today.
What do you do? What do you do in that situation?
I mean, if what I want to do is just pretend like I'm the chair, like not.
That's what she's like. She's like, I can't move. I'm frozen. I'm stuck here. What are
you? I just like let someone sit on me.
Like poor sweet baby.
Poor sweetheart.
Quickly, my teacher ran to the door. Sorry, guys, you have to wait outside. I heard them protesting, but it worked. She shut the door and came over to me. It'll be all right. I'll handle this, okay?
I love her.
I know.
Love her.
She's not like the ones picking up people's chairs and sniffing their butts. She's actually like.
There are all kinds, and this lady is a good one.
Yeah. So crazy that woman did that. Anyway,
can't believe it.
I sniffed and nodded. I was so embarrassed. My friend smiled sympathetically to me and unzipped her sweater. Here, wrap this around your waist. The relief was immediate.
Love her.
I thanked her a million times. My other friend smiled and said, hey, I have my gym shorts. You can change into those. I nodded, and with a plan in place, I stood up.
Yes.
My teacher at this point had given me a pad and I hid it in my pocket. She ushered me out and let me know she'd clean the chair for me. What a godsend. A little humor to the end was when I was getting changed. My friend and I rushed into the washroom, and lucky for us, it was empty. I'll watch the door, my one friend chimed, and started guarding the whole washroom. Happily, my second friend helped. I started to get changed, and all I hear is, you can't come in here, over and over. Finally, someone asked, why? The response is something I'll never forget. Because there's baby ducks in the toilet and the janitor's coming.
What?
That's exactly what she wrote. They proceeded to tell everyone that there were baby ducks until I was done. When I came into view, we all burst into laughter and ran out of the washroom. From then on, for years, even into high school, we codenamed our periods ducks. It's something I'll never forget.
I love that.
Isn't that so cute?
And I love that her friends stepped up and were so cool. Just de-escalated.
They're like, we got you. No, she would have been fucked. Are you kidding me? If she had no friends and the teacher didn't help, she would have just had to be the girl that got period everywhere and like left and had her period in her pants. It's so horrible. Poor baby.
But she didn't have to go through that because people are nice. They are
Thank
nice
God
to
for
each
friends.
Other. Thank God for friends.
That's our show.
Woo!
You're our friends and we love you.
We love you.
And if you love the show, please tell your friends so they love us too.
Mm-hmm.
You can write us a review. You can rate. You can subscribe. That helps us move up the charts.
Open your window. Shout it out there.
Shout it out to the whole neighborhood. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in the show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join them! See you next week.